Welcome to Let's Talk Real Estate. I'm your host, Anna Olsisi, serial entrepreneur, passionate marketer, and owner at Segue Group. On the podcast, you will find valuable information about all things real estate, plus some fun stories told by a variety of guests. So if you like what you hear, then subscribe and invite any friends who you think may get some value from listening. Welcome, everybody. Thanks for joining us again this week. Today, we have a very, what I'm going to call an interesting guest because of her industry. So we have Wendy Giltz. She is the founder and owner of Selling Later, which I don't know if I'm being crazy or too bold to have her on the show. It almost seems like they are the anti-realtors, but I am very curious to hear more about the whole process and how she got started with it and why, as a frustrated consumer, it was that she decided to establish this company and move forth with this, particularly in this market. So Wendy, thank you for joining us. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course.
Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure. So I want to learn all about you and how you came about with this idea. So okay. What's your background?
I'm actually in, I have a marketing background. Okay. So I ran three hospitality brands for 13 okay. years. And I always had this idea in the back of my mind of selling later, because when we were building a home, we had a townhouse and we knew 7 months ahead that our home would be done in December. And this was a couple years ago. And we panicked because we thought, who's going to buy our townhouse in December in Pittsburgh, which is like freezing cold and not the best time, right? I mean, maybe now that it's an insane market, but at that point you worry. And so, you know, I always knew, like, I know there has to be other people out there that know in advance that they're going to make a move, but I'm a consumer. I'm not a real estate agent. You know, what do I know? And I sat on it for years. I had friends go through the process of not being able to time things right. And I just decided to go for it. You know, I don't believe in telling a consumer how to buy or sell. I just want there to be more transparency to know what will be selling later and to open up those communication lines.
Okay. All right. Well, that's very interesting. So, okay. So you touched on the fact that it is a crazy market right now. How long have you been doing this? A couple of years, 3 years?
So I started selling later in the end of 2019, but I just made it as a consumer. And it wasn't until I went to an Inman conference. And that was, you know, back when we could go to conferences. So this was probably at the beginning of last year. And it was like the Wizard of Oz, like looking behind the curtain to see how much goes on behind the scenes. You know, and I just didn't know. And I stood on stage in front of everybody and said, I think consumers should know when homes are selling later, and I'm not selling the information, and I want to donate money to nonprofits. And I got all these weird stares on stage because everybody looked at me like, that's, why would you do that? And when I got off stage, I had all these people coming up to me asking about referral fees, like, you should do referral fees, you can make a ton of money. I didn't know what that was. I had no clue what a referral fee was. I didn't know. And so then I spent the next like 6 to 9 months just working in consumer advocacy groups, pairing up with the really, really long-term agents with a lot of experience to understand what goes on behind the scenes. Because as a consumer, you don't really know. You know, most consumers still look at agents and think they take home 6%. You know, they don't understand that, well, three goes here and three goes here. And after that three, the broker takes this, and then you have to pay this person. And if you had a referral fee, you know, and I don't, it's not clear. And it's, I think there's just needs to be more transparency into how this all works. And so I just decided to pivot to just be a consumer ally, you know, just to educate and understand without bias, without being financially backed by other companies that might sway me to implement things that weren't going to work for the consumer. So it's just being a free resource that can help educate on things I wish I would have known, and I know that most consumers don't know.
Well, that's great. I mean, I think that an educated consumer, an educated buyer or seller is the best kind of buyer or seller, because not only is the process so much smoother as a result of that, but they ask the right questions. They know timelines. I mean, to your point of knowing when to sell or when they have an idea of when they should sell or buy. I mean, because it's both ways. You know, and so I think that it's really cool that you did that, actually. I mean, it's a social platform. Do I have that correct? You know, in that it's...
Right, yeah.
What social platform could you compare it to?
I always love, and I know it's a tad bit dated, but I always love the impact that Craigslist had in being able to create open connections without your information being sold. So, you know, I kind of look at it as a more updated, more secure way to exchange and share that information. But it's always just been about having that open resource and not having things hidden behind paywalls and just making it accessible for everybody.
Great. And so explain to me. So let's say that I am somebody, because I have a lot of clients who do tell me this, like, hey, I want to sell, but I'm not ready to go until, I don't know, I'll say a bad time of the month or a bad time of the year, which is typically like August. I don't want to sell till August. I can't sell till August.
Is there a bad time in Florida?
Yes.
Is there? It feels like the weather is always, I know it's warm, but.
It is. But see, in our particular city, we are education focused. So the university is what drives everything. And so does the medical center. So in June, we get a lot of people moving here for the medical center, like residents and all that. And then by August, we get most of the professors, or really anybody affiliated with the university, they want to be here by August to be settled in houses and all of that. So typically, like, our dead time of the year, we'll call it dead time of the year. But yes, you're right. There is no slow time. But the slower time is August through, like, mid-October. It's just kind of you know, on the slower side. Usually, not last year, but usually. So going back to that. So, like, let's say I'm a seller. I know today, you know, we're in April. I know I can't do anything till August. What do I do?
Sure. So you can make a free account and you can post your home up to 1 year before you actually want to sell. And you just select it by the month. And you can put if you're flexible or if you're stuck on that month, like you must sell in August. And then it goes up on the website and people are able to contact you. It's publicly accessible for everybody, I should say. So anybody can view the platform. Anybody can look at what homes are selling later, because we think that should be accessible information for everybody. And then if somebody is interested, they can inquire by making a free account. We don't sell or share information, but we do require a free account to help avoid any kind of spam solicitation, so that we can just monitor to ensure what you're getting are actual connections and not people looking for a sales lead.
Right.
And we don't tell people how to sell. I'm very, very unbiased. You know, if you want to use an agent, that's great. Like, go ahead. Here's some resources to help you find a good one, because I also didn't know that there are so many out there. I had no idea that there were so many real estate. I mean, you know, as a consumer, but there was, what, 1.4 million realtors out there.
More, you know, now.
And is there more? Oh, geez.
Well, no, I'm saying there are more now than ever, or than there have been since the boom, because everybody thinks that he or she can be a realtor. It's, you know.
Right.
It's, quote, easy.
Right.
And so.
Yeah. And I think I remember reading someone share with me the first year a real estate agent makes like $8,000, I think was the first year. It was some very low number, you know, but it's hyped as. Right. I mean, not for everybody, but.
Right. No, they're like, yeah, we're millionaires.
Yeah. Are you leasing that car you have? Or did you just take a picture in front of it on social media? You know, and so when you get inquiries, you can either, if you don't want to deal with it, just you can export them and give them to your real estate agent and have them deal with it. Or if you choose a different selling service, that's fine. It's your information to keep. And the big thing is I didn't know about the referral platforms. Mm-hmm. I had no idea. And I also didn't know that agents get sold to like 20 times a day for services and things that they want you to buy and use. And I learned way too much. But so I look at referral platforms and these middlemen that continue to develop programs that just put themselves in between agents and consumers. Mm-hmm. And they really only connect you with agents that are willing to give up a ton of their commission. And that could be 25, could be 30, could be higher. And so for me, I want to make sure that we don't ever participate in that, because I don't think it's fair to the agent. I don't think the consumer is getting the best agent. And I also think that impacts a consumer if they want to have a conversation with their agent about the listing commission, if they want to talk about a buyer rebate, you know, if it's legal in their state. When you use those platforms, that severely impacts any chance you would have to have that conversation with your agent. And consumers don't know it's happening. You know, it's always advertised as we'll find you the best agent for free, but like it's kind of not if it's coming out of the commissions, you know? And so that was a big thing for me, is just to keep everything directly connected, because I don't think there needs to be another referral platform out there. I think there are plenty, and I watch the startup world, and there's just more coming, you know, and you have to wonder, I don't know if you've noticed this, but like if this continues and referral platforms take over lead generation more than like paid ads and the other avenues, like what does that look like for real estate agents?
Right. Yes, I know. All of us are a little bit mad at Zillow, for example. I mean, right. we used to spend, and Zillow's even, I would say they were even kind of better than some of those referral platforms that do take tons. I mean, basically you pay in to get money, which you don't get back. But anyway, right. At least in Zillow, there was some sort of ROI there. But the agents that were showing up as the top agents were the agents that were paying the most. You know, yeah, you would get referrals from that. Of course, people would call you, especially if you had listings and all that. But the money we were paying in was astronomical. And now when they started doing their own thing, it was like, bye. You know,
yeah.
I mean, I don't use it anymore at all. But I am privileged in that I have a client base and I have referral partners. And I've been in the business for long enough to be able to have that. And the newer agents are kind of sucked into that, you know, really, really badly.
Right. It's almost like they're taken advantage of in a way, you know, like it's almost
completely.
Like, yeah. And you just don't know as a consumer that you're getting an agent that doesn't have many years. They're entitled as the best agent, but they don't have that many years experience like you do, right? Because you're not on the platforms that are in front of consumers. So how do you find them?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's like I said, for the newer agents, it kind of, it's a double-edged sword. Like, do you not go on that and then not get any business? Or do you go on that and make a little piece of the pie, which is better than no pie?
Right.
But it's also, you know, I think it's almost, it's bordering on malpractice, because if you're an agent who doesn't know what she is doing, and you go ahead and someone is told that you're a great agent, and so they believe it and they're vulnerable as consumers, then they're going to assume that you know what you're doing. And, you know, an agent may not have any idea what they're doing, and then kind of really ruin the whole thing for the consumer ultimately, whether it's just a really negative transaction or not making them the most money for their sale, or they get taken advantage of as buyers.
Right.
So that's wonderful that you know, you don't participate in that. And so you are connecting people with, I guess, what truly are either. Are you connecting them with agents, or are they just finding their own and they can use them?
Well, so originally I let them, they would come to my platform and they would look at the homes, and they would, if they were a buyer, they would make a free account and kind of do a save search so I can see what they're looking for and they can be alerted if something posts. But after I learned about all the referral platforms, I just thought, okay, how do I combat this? Like, if I know the really good agents aren't on these platforms but do a really good job, how do I find those really good agents and have them help educate these members that are on my platform? Because I don't know where they're going after they get connected. And so I started to do Ask an Expert panels, and I'm going to do them. I have three up right now, Pittsburgh, Dallas, and Atlanta. I'm working on Philadelphia, and I'm going to keep kind of going through, but I just find the actual really good agents with years of experience and a really good home insurance agent and a really good lender that a member or anybody, a consumer, can go on and ask them a question, and that expert is not allowed to pitch themselves. They're not allowed to share the consumer's information, and they're just supposed to educate the answers. But if a consumer uses them, I don't want anything for that. I don't believe in that. I would rather have members find experts and have a really good experience and not be taken advantage of than for me to make a referral fee. I just don't feel comfortable with that. And so that's been interesting to dig through each city and find experts and really understand, like, it takes me hours. And I always think, if it takes me this long to find like one agent in each section of a city, like, I can't imagine a consumer trying to figure this out, because there's steps and processes I try to go through. And so, you know, for selling later, I just keep thinking, I'm just going to keep adding things that combat issues that I see in real estate that consumers either don't know about or they're going to learn about, and they're going to be upset when they realize what's going on.
Right. Yeah. So how do you find these people?
Oh, God. Okay. So
you're right. It is hard. It's hard when I want to refer somebody to someone in another city. That's really challenging.
Right. So, right. Okay. So here's after like 2 years of navigating this, here's what I figured out. So I go on and I will look, I break up the city by segments. So, you know, different, yeah, everyone has like a different suburb, a different section of each part. And then I find one agent in each section. And then I look at, have they bought or sold there? How many years have they been an agent? I look on their social media pages to see, are they actually sharing content, or are they promoting some crazy conspiracy theories, or are they, you know, you have to look now, right? I mean,
you do.
Yeah. Like, freedom of speech is wonderful, but if you're posting hate or something, like, I can't be associated with you. I don't want to be a part of that. You know, so I look at years, I look at where they actually buy and sell. I look at, what they're posting on social. I look to see, like, are they sharing content and educational resources, or is it just a constant flow of, like, the Rise Media, the automated, articles that come through social media. Yeah. Yeah. So I look, like, are they sharing like actual educational things, or are they just like paying to get stuff shuffled through? And then I go on peer reputation. I don't know if you're familiar with peer reputation.
No, I mean, it sounds like if your peers recommend you.
But... Right. So it's, it was developed by a friend of mine named Steve, who actually started something similar to Selling Later years ago. But he ended up pivoting because he was a real estate agent and he realized there are really great agents and then there are some not so great agents. But as you said, like, how do you know if you're looking at a different city? And so him and a friend developed Peer Reputation, where agents can go on and review the agent they worked with. And then he has an algorithm and certain things in place based on years of experience, transactions, what others are saying about them, that they get a reputable agent badge. And it's not something you can work the system for. It's not something that you can just pay for. It's something that's earned based on those qualifications. And so he gave me an account so I can go on there and I can look up to see, like, what other agents are saying about this agent. Because I didn't know as a consumer, like, if you have a really bad agent that nobody wants to work with, like, that can impact your whole offer. It can impact your whole experience.
Big time.
Yeah. And I didn't know that. And so at least if I check with, if they have a reputable badge or if they have at least some feedback, I at least know that they can play well in the sandbox with others, you know, and they're well known. And so it's what 4-step process, I guess, just to be able to find it. But I've nailed them so far. So I'm thinking my process is doing pretty well.
That's good. That's good. Is it major cities only?
No. You know, it's funny. I started with Pittsburgh because that's where I am. And then it just kind of goes wherever we get homes posted. Like, I had a whole schedule for the year of the flow of cities we were going to do. But then I got 2 or 3 homes posted in Dallas. And I'm like, okay, well, if people are coming to Dallas, like, Dallas needs to be bumped up on the list because I need to be able to find these experts. And then I got one in Atlanta. So I'm like, okay, we'll put Atlanta on the list. And, you know, it's, I guess it's kind of that when you're a solo founder, you're, I don't want to say throwing spaghetti at the wall, but you have to adjust. You've got to move quickly and you've got to do things pretty fast. So I just kind of go with where we are, and it's been fun. It's been interesting. I've learned a lot. It's been fun.
That's entrepreneurship. You just learn a lot as you go. And with each hiccup comes a new learning opportunity.
Right. So. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's really neat. So those are three markets where you are seeing some success. We found you on TikTok.
Oh gosh. I have no idea what I'm doing on, I have no idea what I'm doing on TikTok.
No one does. Don't
okay,
worry
good.
About
okay.
It. Nobody.
I'm like, am I too old to be on here? Like I always see like, all I see is like,
if you're too old.
No. But then I always see like, oh, the middle part yeah. and the baggy jeans. Are you wearing skinny jeans? I'm like, well, I'm wearing skinny jeans. Like, why is that a bad thing? Should I not be welcomed on here?
I know. My daughter assures me that it's okay that I don't have a middle part and that I wear skinny
yeah,
jeans.
Yeah, I don't think like, I could give those
look,
up.
I wore mom jeans before I was a
right,
mom.
Right.
So yeah, I don't need that anymore in my life.
Right.
No way.
Right.
I'll stick to my dresses
right.
or whatever.
Whatever's comfortable.
Yeah, right, exactly. So anyway, I lost my train of thought, but oh yeah. So TikTok. Okay. So we found you on TikTok. And so is that how you're getting customers? Cause I'm trying to think of how else we would have found
right.
you.
Right. Well, so I've actually been in 16 states and with selling later, once a home gets listed, it comes off or, you know, once the month comes up that they were going to sell, it comes off. And I know that I can't compete with the Googles and the Zillows and the Redfins to have your information everywhere. But I just, mm-hmm. it bothers me that a new home buyer closes on their home and all the insides of like all pictures of the inside of their home is just all over the internet. And so I just feel when you sell mm-hmm. your home, I don't want to contribute to that. So whatever you posted comes down and there's no, you can't go back and look at it. It just gets removed. And so when you go on, what you see is just what's currently coming up. So I've been in, oh geez, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, a bunch, South Carolina, Georgia, Texas, Arizona, Nevada. I have a couple in California that haven't gone public yet. And it's just been organic either from social, from Reddit, from some people that are kind of in that consumer advocacy space and pushing for adjustments and change and how things work and transparency. I get it from there. It's just been a mix. And it's, I guess that's marketing, right? Like you'll never be able to say, I got all my leads from this source because it just, I wish it worked that way, right? It would be wonderful.
I guess, although it's good to have, multiple sources because if one source fails, then at least you have other streams, you know, of referrals and organic growth versus
right. yeah.
just one that could really suffer
right,
ultimately.
And,
so,
you know, yeah. and I know that, you know, and as you know, the people in this industry, the big players in the game have these marketing budgets that are just absurd, like just so mm-hmm. absurd. And so really the only way for this to grow and change is to do it organically. It doesn't matter how much money I spend on ads. It's going to have to be that shift in education and consumer awareness, because otherwise it won't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. How do you make money? I mean, you're spending money, so how are right. you making money if this? Is
well, so I leaned towards becoming a nonprofit. I was very close over the summer, the summer to do that. But I feel like I should be more in a benefit company structure. So right now it's just free. You know, I'm fortunate that I'm able to do this on my own schedule and manage it. But as we grow, there's just small pieces of monetization I'm going to be adding in that are never based on consumer information. They're never based on selling leads. It's just going to be smaller, similar to Craigslist, honestly. There's going to be pockets that may have a monetization piece, but X, Y, and Z will always remain free and accessible.
Wow. Okay. All right. I was just, you know, from an entrepreneurial
right.
mindset.
No, I know.
Like, well, huh? I
right. I know. I know. And it's, I guess I kind of look at it as, you know, we, you know, in my family structure, we're kind of comfortable. Like I'm lucky that my husband has a good job and we're in the middle class and we're comfortable where we are. And I don't know if it's as you get older, but you just kind of lose the lust for things and you start to understand mm-hmm. like your wants versus your needs. And so for me, it's almost more important for me to make sure I do this right and grow it so it's an actual helpful resource than to throw a bunch of things into it that just make me money that aren't gonna change, you know? And it looks like a lot of startups in real estate, just from who I follow, they all kind of start wanting to help consumers. But then they take on VC money, or they take on investments, and it's your trail for consumers kind of goes off, and you take a different path because now you're responsible to give money back to these people, so you better get moving. And I know that's business, mm-hmm. and I totally get that, but I just, you know, in my heart, I feel like if I'm going to do this right, like I need to always be making the best decision for consumers, and monetizing that is not easy, you know, because I know, and you know, in real estate, you know, selling leads is like the cash cow. Like that's how, I mean, that's some company's only model, right? It's sell leads.
Yeah. Which is, yeah. I don't like
right,
it.
Right.
Yeah. You know, like the whole selling leads thing, I just, you know, but whatever, you know, whatever works for people. And I mean, that's fine for them. It's not great for everybody. I don't, and to what you're saying, I don't think it's the best thing for the consumer by right. any means. So, you know, I'm glad that you're tackling that, you know, and being an advocate for the consumer. And what you were saying, you know, earlier about, you know, like getting VC money and all, I think that really, because we actually, Gainesville is like a huge startup town. And so we have events with VCs and this and that all the time, not necessarily in real estate, but like in other industries. You know, I don't think that any entrepreneur or most entrepreneurs go into it with the idea of making, it's not just about making money, it's about solving a problem and helping someone. And then these things happen because eventually you need a staff and you need a location and you need equipment. And so you have to get, you know, money for distribution or whatever. So, you know, I see why they're beholden to these investors. So it's great that you can actually take it on without having to answer to anybody and do it, you know, do your own
for a while.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
For a while, like, you know, it's been hard because when you make that choice and you have two kids, it's like, okay, well, if I'm not making an income right now, like, you know, there are certain things you can't really rely on childcare. And so, you know, when we shut down, I think in May, and schools, our schools went from like virtual to hybrid to virtual to homeschool to it was like 8 different times we shifted since September to January. And so that got challenging, you know, because if you don't have the childcare resources, you know, I'm like working on my computer while I'm sitting next to my son, helping him with second grade math. I'm like, I mean, but I just keep thinking it gets challenging and it gets hard, but I like doing it. And if I can make some sort of impact, then, like, you know, I might not be able to do the typical startup hustle of like 70, 80 hours a week. But like, if I do 40, like, that's okay. If some weeks I do 50 and some weeks I do 25, like, it doesn't mean you should quit because things get challenging. You know, you just do what you can.
Well, I mean, that's a lot of time that you're putting into it regardless. I mean, even the 40, especially now, I mean, with two little kids and I, you know, I'm like, hats off to the stay-at-home parents or the parents who have had to stay home.
Oh, I know.
Because, you know, your life has been turned upside down. And and suddenly you're
I learned I'm not a very good teacher. Our teachers are amazing. I don't have the patience for
God, bless them all. I know. I could never, ever be a teacher. And I am so happy that I did not have a kid at home during any of this because it would have been like a nightmare. I mean, well, I guess I had a senior at the end of it, but or at the beginning of it, but like not now.
Right. And so I feel so bad for seniors. I feel like that's such a fun year, you know, and all the things you get to do, and none of that happened. And
yeah, none of that happened. I mean, for mine at the end of it, it didn't happen. But hey, that's okay. College has been way better, and it's only getting better
that's
now.
True.
We're all feeling really positive and pumped about everybody getting immunized. So, you know, we're good.
Right.
Everything.
Right.
There's hope.
Right.
And good things are
happening.
We're
on the up path. Yes.
We are. And that, you know, that's something where it's interesting because I think that may change then the real estate market. You know, right now, you know, when this all started, people started going house crazy and wanted space and this and that, moving out of the cities and all of that. So did you see an uptick in the more, not rural areas, they are cities where you've had a lot of the listings and everything, but I guess both ways, right? Are people trying to sell and buy in areas that have more land and are more welcoming to the non-urban lifestyle? Or are people selling in the urban areas because they want to get rid of things to move elsewhere? So what are you seeing anything like that?
Most seem to be the suburbs of the major cities. So I think they're realizing that they're in a popular area. So that's mostly where, you know, I think I have one post right now that's in like downtown Philadelphia. I think everything else is really on the outer suburbs. Like the one near Atlanta is like way south. But yeah, I think mostly it's just the suburban areas. And some are planning to buy. Some are already, they were renting their house. Some are looking to buy and are trying to figure that out. It's just, it's interesting. I thought it would always be people that were in my position, but a lot of it is people, you know, with different issues of how they want to sell and what's going on in their life. And so I didn't realize it could be that tool for everybody. I assumed it would only be for move-up buyers. And what's neat is I talked to NeighborWorks. I don't know if you have a chapter. We have a chapter in Western PA. It's a nonprofit that educates first-time home buyers. And so you look at the seller's market, and I feel awful for first-time home buyers who maybe have a low down payment because they're blown away by cash offers and that's it. And so for our platform, we're going to be adding buyer profiles where you're able to post where you're looking, a range and what you're looking to buy, and your timeline of when, without personal information, without photos. You're just judged as where you want to buy and when. And I'm hoping to find ways to work with nonprofits like NeighborWorks that we can maybe highlight people that are first-time home buyers that are would love to have the opportunity to find a home that they probably wouldn't stack up against a cash buyer. And I don't blame a seller for taking the all cash offer. You know, that's, you know, what are you going to do? But I just, if I can help find a way to highlight these first-time home buyers that would love a chance at home ownership, I'm hoping at least adding these resources might help get them in front, because a lot of cash buyers kind of cut in before the home even goes on the market, right? So I'm thinking if I can help highlight them ahead of time, does that help them compete with the massive amount of investors and cash buyers? And I don't want to say that investing is wrong. You know, I think everyone's able to create a lifestyle based on what works for you. But I do feel like at the same breath, everybody deserves an opportunity at home ownership. So hopefully this helps them.
For sure. Yeah, look, I mean, I love first-time buyers. I think that they're kind of not innocent, because I don't want them to seem like they're naive, but it's right. Just like, it's almost like giving kids their first experience at Disney World or something. It's like, right, here, right. You can have this and let me help you. And it's so nice and fun. And they do get some opportunities here. I'm working with at least one right now. So that's super nice. And she's all excited about it. And she beat out like, oh gosh, 7 other offers. So hey,
good for her.
Yay. You know, I think what a good agent, and I'm not tooting my horn, I'm just saying what a good agent would do is advise someone to go way under their price point.
Right.
To be able to be competitive and go right. Over asking price. Because now, of course, nowadays it's like asking price is an insult, blah, blah, blah. Like,
right, right.
If you offer asking price, it's totally insane.
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, you go way under and then you can go way over on your offer and still be stable right. And be fine. Which is something, you know, of course, that not every person's going to know to do. And so to mm-hmm. have a resource like you have to give them that, even little tidbits and insights like that, would probably help them not only as the consumer, but also find an agent who would be able to help them do things like that.
Right.
And all that. So, yeah.
And even when you look at lenders and first-time home buyers, I follow a bunch of the community forums on Reddit, and it's just a treasure trove of, I can never say that word right, treasure trove of
that's fine.
Of just information and conversation and the amount of first-time home buyers that go to a web-based lender versus like a, someone that they can actually talk to. Like, yeah, I can see you by your face.
Scares me.
Right. And so and when I made those Ask an Expert panels, I was like, how do I combat this? And so I start finding one or two local lenders that can hold a seminar and educate you before you start filling out your information on Quicken Loans, because Quicken Loans owns Rocket Mortgage and Rocket Mortgage owns Rocket Homes. And there's that referral system again, right? So now your information's heading over to an agent, and it just is this cycle, right? And so how do you stop that? It's just to catch people and teach them and help them understand why it's important to be educated.
For sure. Yes, I do that all the time. I'm like, I'm glad you're pre-qualified with Quicken. Let's find you a local lender too. We can come
just in case
they can help you some more, because they also have that. Like, the local lenders have the local knowledge of the market and can help with things. Condo purchases. We're talking about first-time buyers. That's a lot of condo purchasing. Well, a local lender is going to know whether that condo association is stable, whether their coffers are full enough so that they can actually get a loan, because sometimes loans are related to stuff like that. I mean, if you have someone from Quicken, they have no idea. I mean, I am not knocking the Quicken lenders, because everybody has to have some sort of job. And if you're a lender and you're working for Quicken, that's fine. But still, you're just not going to have the local knowledge that a local lender will have. And so I just have to keep that in mind, and especially the first-time buyers who really need that extra guidance, the hand-holding.
Right. It's interesting. You watch them. I just watch the questions that are asked, and this is a forum of like 300,000 people. And it's the basic questions that if they would have spoken with someone locally or a really good agent first, they wouldn't. They're already like in the process, and then they ask this question. I'm like, if you had the right person, you would know that answer, and they would tell you the right things. And so you just look at how important it is to find a really good agent, a really good lender, or however you want to go through the process, you know, because there are good and bad. I hate to say the word bad, but there's experienced and then there's not experienced, you know, and the not experienced are
bad.
The ones. Tell you, I assumed that years of experience equaled excellent agent before I started this. I didn't know that. I had no idea.
Yeah. Well, it's like a doctor. Think about that.
That's true.
I mean, not that we're on the level of a doctor, but, you know, I mean, you want somebody who's done, you know, who has satisfied. I think of it like a plastic surgeon. Like, if they've done good work and you see their good work and they have satisfied clients, then, then it's like, oh, you know, okay. You know, and it's the same thing, you know, with an agent. You have to see, I think word of mouth is huge. I mean, really.
Right. So, absolutely. You know, I totally agree.
What you're doing, what their peers think of them.
Right.
I think that that's really, really important. If your peers think highly of you, I think that that says a whole lot about you as an agent. So, but it's funny, I had no idea. I don't know about this platform that you talk about.
Yeah. It's really interesting. And I trust the founder, because he's always got the consumer in mind first, and his original map didn't plan out, but he said this is his way to at least weed out the not so great and highlight the better ones. And that's his contribution to improving the whole industry. And I hope, you know, in our conversation, you understand I'm not anti-agent at all. It's more the how the industry is set up and how there's no transparency in how people are profiting from information and who's good and who's bad. And it just seems like there needs to be a shift of, you know, if sellers and buyers are paying for the whole industry, like, they should understand who's taking advantage of their information and who's making millions. And I mean, like, millions of dollars just by passing along their information to an agent that might not be that great.
Yeah. No, I mean, when I initially read about what your company does, I was confused. I was like, well, are they like anti-agents or what? But I definitely, after this conversation, don't see you as anti-agent. I see you as consumer advocate. Maybe anti-referrals.
Definitely like anti, yes. Whatever. I'm very, very honest
like
about that.
Companies
or
whatever. And which, hey, I'm with you on that. And then pro-reputable agent. And I think that, right. you know, that's great. You know, I agree. So, you know, I agree with you. I think, you know, people need to have good agents in order to make good choices and have good experiences and,
right.
and save money, make money, all of that.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So other than the forums that you have, like, I guess the Q&As with agents and lenders and this and that, do you have any other resources on your website for, you know, like a what's the process and what's
yeah.
this, what's that, the other?
Yeah. So I originally started writing. There's like a resource page. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm a consumer. And so I don't feel comfortable telling somebody how to do X, Y, and Z. You know, I've been through the process as a consumer, but I'm not an expert. And so I just have, you know, mostly the Ask an Expert panelists will write articles for me about like, here's the true way how to find a lender. Here are things you should look for. Like, I'll usually write about the consumer aspect. So consumer traps, referral platforms. But then I'll have agents that write, like, here are things you should be looking at in your listing agreement with your agent. And here's how actually commission is broken out. And I had an agent write completely honestly, write like, here's how much an agent might make. Here's how much they had to pay their broker. Here's how much they have to pay. So it was crazy. It was like, I forget the total, but the agent in this situation with a referral fee made, I think, $1,200, I think was the total, you know, off of this 6%. Right, exactly, exactly. And so,
they
you know.
They bought a Starbucks. Yeah.
Right. My one coffee for the week. And so I just keep finding, you know, and the bigger picture, and this probably sounds too kumbaya-ish, but, you know, there are good pockets of people in every aspect in the industry. And so, you know, my main goal is just to find those pockets and talk to them and see how can you contribute and help educate on things you wish you would have known, or what are things that your buyers don't really understand. And never from the perspective of here's why you should use an agent. Cause I don't, there's enough people telling consumers how they should use an agent, shouldn't use an agent, but it's just saying, here's some things that are important that you should be aware of. And here's some red flags and here's some great things when you're talking to agents that you should look for. And so I just, if I don't understand it, I find an expert or an agent or a lender to write for me, because I never want to just be it about my opinion. You know, I want it to be factual and helpful based on all of these good pockets of people that are out there that maybe are just not as easy to find.
Right. Well, that's great. Well, Wendy, thank you.
Yeah,
I mean,
thanks
I
for
think
having
you've
me.
You provided great information. I love your service, you know, Selling Later. It's, you know, once you learn more, as I just have, you know, it sounds like a very, very helpful tool for the general consumer who's either buying or selling or thinking about it and wants to just learn more. I like that you definitely have experts on there to give their expert opinions and just provide really solid information. You know, I encourage consumers to definitely check it out and at least, if nothing else, just inform themselves about the whole process
right.
and educate themselves because like I said earlier, an informed consumer is the best kind of buyer or seller that an agent can work with, or at least an agent who likes to answer questions and guide them,
right?
You know, further. Would definitely, you know, enjoy that kind of interactions. So agents out there who are experienced and have good reputations, maybe you can connect with Wendy
yeah.
or at least be recommended by someone to connect with
right.
Wendy.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
by a peer.
If it would help yeah. save me some time having to research city yeah. by city all the time, I would 100% love to connect
sure.
with others.
Yeah. Well, that's great. All right. Well, do you have any other things that you wanted to discuss or touch on?
No. Before? You know, I just think overall that consumers need to know that their personal information is so valuable in real estate and that they have a right to know where it's going and who's profiting from it and to know how that impacts their whole experience, regardless of who they're choosing or how they sell. Like, you know, just because you're filling out a form on Zillow doesn't mean that it's not going to lenders and it's not going to a plethora of other businesses. So just you know, protect your information because I think it can benefit you in the long run.
Definitely. Yes. Yes. Be very protective of your information. So much of it is out there anyway.
Right,
so
right.
It's if anything you can do to prevent it from being somewhere else, yet another place.
Right, right.
That would be great.
One less phone call because we love getting those home warranty scams or not the home, car warranty. Is that the one I keep getting now? I get a call like
all
every day.
Those.
Yeah, yeah. We don't need another phone call. So protect, if anything else, protect your info for that reason only.
Exactly, exactly. Yep. So absolutely. Well, thank you, Wendy.
Yeah, thanks for
Wendy,
having me.
Consumer advocate. I like that. It's like a superhero designation or something.
From home with my two kids.
And, woo. And so, yeah, so we'll put information about Selling Later on the description of the podcast. If anybody wants to find you, we'll make sure that they can.
Yeah.
And they can find the website and then just get some more information and, you know, ultimately post information. You know, it's like a dating site but for people who are buying
right.
and selling.
Right. You just can't see what they look like. That's all. You
well,
can see
right,
what the
right.
home looks
yeah,
like.
You can see what their houses look like, and that's
right.
all that matters.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, it's very cool. Very neat and innovative concept. And thank you for being on the podcast.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. And I'd love to see how this evolves as the market starts to shift one day.
Someday. I know. I hope.
So, yeah. So, very good. All right. Well, thank you, Wendy.
Thank you so much.
I hope you have a good rest of your day.
Yes,
and
you too.
You don't have to do homeschooling too much.
Yeah, let's hope. Let's hope.
All right. Well, enjoy them while they're
young. Yeah, I know.
And thank you, everyone, for listening today. We look forward to bringing you another great episode next week, and I hope you have a great one. Bye. Thanks so much for listening today. If you like what you hear and want to learn more about real estate and hear the occasional funny story, then hit that subscribe button right now. And if you know of someone who'd benefit from listening, then tell them to subscribe too, or else they may feel a little left out. For questions, topic suggestions, or nice comments, send an email to anna@segwayre.com. We can also connect on Facebook at SegwayRE. Thanks for listening as we bring you a new way of doing real estate. Bye!